We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Hi, it's Kate, and this is the final episode of the first season of Nights and Weekends. We made it through season one. It was a little scrappy. We were learning along the way, but I couldn't have been happier with the conversations we've had and the people we've met. The series has been about shining a light on the people that are shaping Rochester's music scene, and they're not always in the spotlight, and that's why it makes it so fun and interesting to get to know what's happening behind the scenes. So if you've been listening or sharing or telling your friends about it, thank you so much. We're doing this for you, and we're doing it to make our music community stronger. So enjoy this last episode, and we will see you next season. I'm here today with Doug Kelly, who is the talent buyer at Bug Jar. We're so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, you're such a big part of our music scene here. Bug Jar is kind of the heartbeat of our scene in Rochester. And, you know, we've done so many episodes, and everybody, I think in every single episode, we talk about Bug Jar. So thank you for doing what you do, being here, and we can't wait to kind of dive in and talk about your process and your history here in Rochester.
Cool. I can't wait.
Yeah. So why don't you give us some background? You're from Rochester. How did you get into music, and how did you get into this role at Bug Jar?
So not from Rochester.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I didn't do my research.
We're both transplants. I'm originally from a really small town in western Pennsylvania called Stoneboro, Pennsylvania. It's like an hour north of Pittsburgh and an hour south of Erie. And we had a surprisingly cool music scene, like DIY music scene, in a town just south of where I grew up. So I would go to shows there. It was this place called Sunjin's. It was the upstairs of a Chinese restaurant. Surprisingly, like 300 cap room. It was insane. There was like a disco ball up there. Like, I think they had like little dance parties or something like back in the day or whatever. But, people were throwing shows like, you know, stick PA, like very minimal. And they were bringing in like younger, like bands that were on Warped Tour and stuff like that. Like Equal Vision Records was really big back then. So it was like a lot of that kind of stuff. And a lot of the people that I met back then, I still am in contact with today. They've moved around, and like some of them are still active in industry. So it's been really cool to like keep in touch with everybody. So that's kind of like what really got the itch started to get involved in music in general. Like, I remember before I was in a band, I was watching bands. I'm like, I can play that. Like, I can be in a band like that. And eventually I did get a band going in high school my last 2 years, and we played a show there. So that was like, check. And then I booked two shows on my own at different spots and brought bands from Buffalo down. And the one summer before I fully moved to New York, I brought bands from Buffalo and Canandaigua down to Grove City, where I was like located at the time. And yeah, like I basically came up to New York to study at Finger Lakes Community College for their music recording program. And that's where everything started. I met everyone that I know, like to this day, like people that live in Rochester. I started my, I was part of a, my first band in New York here that like got me into the Bug Jar. I met Tim, and, I don't remember the show at all, but, I remember the being there. I'm like, this is a really cool venue. And I remember like researching it in high school, like, and knowing about it, but not realizing that like, hey, I might end up here someday. So yeah, like I was mainly in like the Canandaigua area from 2007 until 2010. And then I went to SUNY Fredonia and studied music business, and my degree is in business administration, but I don't use that, like most people. But, at that time I took half of my band with me to Fredonia, and we kept playing, you know, we were playing at BJ's. If you've ever heard of that place, it's kind of like the spot to play in Fredonia. And we would go back and forth playing in Rochester and everything. And when I graduated, we all pretty much moved back and kept the band going for a couple years. And, when I moved back, I had an internship with Tim Avery, and I kind of kept bugging him when it was over, you know, and eventually he's like, yeah, like come on board. You can work under me. And that was a couple years later. And, you know, I was getting more and more involved, kind of like evolving their branding and like building like a better website. And I built their mailing list from scratch. That's like a crucial part of their marketing now. And unfortunately he got cancer. And so I was still working with him at the time, like, you know, talking to him when I could, you know, bouncing ideas off of him. He beat cancer. There was a huge show for him. This was like 2018. Did an anthology. It was an incredible like show of a community there. You know, 1,000 people showed up. And ultimately he came back for like a little while, but it was just, I think he had like had enough, you know. And it's a lot of stress, and that's definitely not something you want to deal with if you're trying to recover from cancer, right? Like you want to be chill and focus on your health, and who knows like what chemo does to your brain and everything. Like, so I stepped up, and it's been me as the primary booker, ever since. And, Oz does like a lot of the metal shows, like the door guy, Oz, everybody knows him. And, I collaborate with other people in the scene that want to book shows and bands, and yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at today.
Yeah, that's great. And you talk about the stress with booking. I mean, I actually hate booking, and it's not anything I'm trying to do. And sometimes it's like, you know, do a Saturday. You can have a Saturday showcase, and I don't like it. It's really hard. What's it like to be you?
Yeah. You know, being in a band for different bands over the years, like that was my outlet, you know, that was a nice little stress reliever. Not so much anymore. I used to smoke a lot of weed, you know, like that shows you out pretty well. I don't really drink anymore. I honestly don't even smoke anymore, honestly, because it's just too much, but it's a lot. I don't know. I've always been kind of like, go, 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 like my entire life, like kind of high strung, but like people always like, oh, you're so chill. I'm like, am I really? Like, you know, like I play when I want to relax, I play video games that are all about like managing like cities and like all these complex systems. And I just can't put my brain to sleep sometimes. And that, you know, is a literal thing. But as far as the stress of it all, it's just, it is a lot. And sometimes it's not fun, but, overall I really do enjoy like setting up events. And when I can, like creating my own poster, when I have the option, and making the connections with different musicians. And sometimes I find out I'll book a band. I'm like, oh, I watched you in high school, like in this band. So it just blows my mind. Like people that have moved all across the country, like come back and play Bug Jar and stuff like that. So that's like really rewarding. But honestly, like my least favorite part comes down to just like a couple days before the show or a week before the show. It's like, hey, are we going to share gear? Yes. How long should we play? I'm like, you know, I probably should have thought about this a while ago, but here we are. Like, And just like all the like little nitty gritty things where a lot of times I can't make it to the show. So I'm like, oh man, like I really have to figure this out now instead of like leaving everybody hanging. And I try to be like more on top of that, but it's just a lot. Like it's called advancing. Like, I have like major booking agents that have been on me about advancing like at the last second sometimes. And it's like, sorry, you know, sometimes I just book the show and I'm like, peace.
It's like a not ending job. Because
yeah.
It's constant communication until the end of the show.
Yeah. We spent like a month negotiating and coordinating everything to begin with. And then like a few weeks before it's like, oh crap. Like I have to follow up on all this other stuff. And on top of booking all the other shows, like months and months down the road. So I'm a one man operation or one person, whatever. Yeah, it's just a lot, and I need a better system of organizing, but I don't know. It's, I need somebody else to just like tell me what to do sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's interesting. You know, despite all of the back and forth and the constant, you know, coordination, what's your favorite part? Like, where does the magic come in for you?
Just like, I really like making, so lately I've been making like the last couple of years, a lot of just like video content, which I'm not creating it from scratch. Like I'm usually just like lifting stuff off of like the band's YouTube or whatever. But just kind of like, I really like doing the creative side of a lot of that. And I kind of have my own little like recipe that's like a lot of the promos look the same, and that's for a reason. Like I kind of had this idea in my head, like, oh, like it's the bug jar. Like, you have this weird distorted, like multi-faceted vision of the show because of like, if you've ever seen like bug vision or like what a fly sees, it's like a mirror of like the same thing. So that's kind of like my angle of what people should see, but like perceive the event to be, you know. I lean into the whole bug aspect of the bug jar, but not everybody's into that.
I mean, it's your brand marketing.
Yeah. Well, I don't own the venue. So I'm just like there's all this bug stuff. Like, why aren't we like doing more of that? You know? And I think people higher up than me kind of got over it 10, 15 years ago. They're like, you know, I think people just grow out of things.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they're still the vested interest. So
I mean, something's working. I think like every time I play out of the city, when I say Rochester, people immediately say, I've been to or played Bug Jar. And I think like, you know, being a part of such a place that has a history and is such like just that go-to. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like we talk a lot about giant venues and bringing in, you know, national touring acts. And I think like, and then we also talk about the DIY scene here. And I think like that venue sits in the middle of perfection. For some reason, it's a vibe. It's like you could bring in a national band and they would kill. Or you could bring in, you know, most of the nights that you book there are local nights. And people are always there. It doesn't matter who's playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am always trying to get bands that are way too big to play at the venue, because I'm in my mind, it's just, you know, easy sellout. Like it's more about the intimacy of the moment than making, you know, $10,000 at a show. You know, I don't know. That's my angle. Like I would just die to see, my favorite artist like 5 feet away from them. You know, yeah. That to me is way better than being at some 1,000 cap venue and standing with 1,000 other sweaty people, like 400 feet away from the stage, you know. Unless they have like a killer stage set up and then it's a whole different experience. But I like to be in the energy of it, you know? And you mentioned the DIY thing, like admittedly, like I am pretty far removed from the DIY scene now. You know, I'm considerably older than the people that are doing that. And I just don't go out as much. So that's the one thing that I want to, expand upon, is like getting to know who the up and coming bands are. And some bands are reaching out to me, but like over last summer I saw this like pick picnic show or park show where it was like 12 bands. I knew like two of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of them were college bands, but I was like, who are these kids, you know? And unfortunately, like, the colleges around here try to keep people on campus. Like, they don't really, like, there used to be a bus that would bring RIT and U of R kids and drop them off right in front of Bug Jar. It was like a thing. And for whatever reason, like, the universities around here just want to do like campus only events and like stay here. Like, why go into the city? It's scary. Ooh, you know, so it's kind of a bummer. But, and I hope that, like, I mean, people are more and more progressive with each generation. So I just hope people are like exploring more, you know, go downtown.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, there's so much to offer. And
just be smart.
Exactly. I mean, and it's like, I think, you know, being, you've lived in different cities, I've lived in different cities, like, it's all about just becoming familiar with, you know, the culture that's happening. And that's kind of my goal with the sound, is to just make sure people know what's going on. And there's so much going on. I mean, there's free shows, there's opera, mm-hmm. there's, you know, jazz every night somewhere. It's like, you can see whatever you want any night of the week here. And it's, I think people just don't know that, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, Eastman School of Music is a stone's throw away from the Bug Jar, kind of, you know. Yeah. And what's the other, Jiva Theater, you know, there's a lot going on.
A lot of people do the show hop. You know, they'll go to, let's say, like, an early show at Skylark, then pop to a Bug Jar. You know, I know a lot of friends that, like, you know, just do that every Friday and Saturday. And it's amazing that you can do that, because our city's not a huge city. It is small.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'd say, like, shows are affordable, so you're not breaking the bank every weekend.
Right. Right. So, all right, well, we're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be right back with Doug Kelly from the Bug Jar. We'll talk soon. Welcome back to Nights and Weekends. This is Kate Rogers, and I am here with Doug Kelly, who is the talent buyer at Bug Jar. We are talking about the local music scene here and positive change in that scene, and wanted to get your thoughts on change at the Bug Jar. It's been there for a long time, and like we've talked about earlier, it's a crucial part of our scene here. How are you changing things for the better and giving opportunity to younger musicians and just getting more people to the shows?
Okay, yeah. So most recently, we're starting to break into doing some all-ages events. So we did one March sometime, and it was actually like an outside, this guy in Fairport has like a really, really high-end guitar store, like Fab Gear, and they have a studio and a lesson program. So they put together all these like ensemble bands, and there was music from like 2 p.m. until like 1 a.m. Wow. All the bands played. They were playing like very long sets, mostly covers, but I think that was kind of like the goal, like, you know, here's your new band, like, learn all these songs. And honestly, like, I was there for a good chunk of it. I actually brought my son down, so it was his first Bug Jar experience, you know. He had little headphones on him, and yeah, like, there were these young kids playing, and they were crushing it, like, way better than I was at like 16 or however old they were, you know, playing their instruments. So that was pretty cool. But in a broader spectrum, I am possibly this summer trying to do like a once a month, like, all ages thing on the weekend, because there are so many bands that don't get to play Bug Jar because they're 16 or 17 or whatever. And just to get people down there to see the space, you know, bring your parents or whatever, you know, your little brother, you know, expose them to the chaos and the weird oddity of the Bug Jar, you know. That's one thing that we're trying to focus on. And even as of late, like, we're going to probably start letting some unders into the door instead of this ticket system that we have that I still fight for, because it's a bar. And I think if the owners had it their way, it would just be 21 plus all the time, mm-hmm. just like Lux, mm-hmm. you know, but we're not a neighborhood bar and we don't have that, you know, built-in crowd that Lux has. So it's really like the bands have to bring their people. They're, you know, they're the regulars that come to Bug Jar usually aren't there to see the bands. They come have a couple drinks and they might pop their head in the live room for a few seconds, then they're gone, you know. So yeah, we're really just trying to get people interested in the venue. You know, everything's such like a digital culture now. I don't know what kids do outside for fun other than doing stuff on their phone mm-hmm. and the internet. So ideally we get younger faces in there. They tell their friends and it's like, hey, it was actually cool. You know, I had a really good time, and that snowballs. But other than that, for more of a lifestyle thing that we're doing, we expanded our NA menu. So it took a couple years to really get everyone on board, but with a couple new brands popping up around town like Lucky Frog and Cat Bucha, we have more ammo, you know. It's like, and there's an entire NA bar in town, right?
Yeah, Alt Bar.
Yeah, and just from posting about the rollout, there's like all these like non-alcoholic like influencers in the area that I had no idea about, you know. I think it was very well received when we did the rollout. We just happened to get everything before the last art show that we had, which is normally First Friday, but that's kind of it's turning into like a every couple months, whenever we can fit it in kind of thing. So and Kyle, who is a partner in Lucky Frog, played that night and he was drinking them and like all of his friends were, and that was pretty cool. And then just adding something other than soda, you know, we got Joe Bean cold brew in there. The night before, I had one at like 4 o'clock and I couldn't sleep until like 1 a.m. It was like, they're really good, don't get me wrong, but I definitely messed up, you know. Can't handle caffeine anymore. So that's great if you're trying to be out at a show all night, you know. So we have coffee now.
That's an added bonus. I think like a lot of people too, when they're trying to, like, they want that buzz.
yeah. And like Red Bull's terrible and, you know, soda's not good, the sugar. And like, we had coffee for a while, but it was so terrible. It was like a little like single cup brew and nobody knew how to make it right. We actually only got it because Mike Lee, who used to have a show on Wayo, was always just like, oh, you know, I go out to all these shows, I'm so tired.
didn't he have mashed potatoes there too?
He brought mashed potatoes once, and we were like joking around about like, now available, you know. That was a thing. But yeah, so the coffee machine's gone, but now we have the Joe Bean stuff, and we finally got Cat Bucha in. I was trying early on for that, but that was like pre-COVID and before anybody even thought about like offering something other than booze at the venue, you know. So yeah, ideally with these alternative options, people that don't drink or that have aged out of drinking, or they're in a straight edge band, which is becoming popular again, like they want to play at the venue and not be pressured to get drunk, you know, and they can go to a show and have a couple NAs or kombuchas and not be hungover the next day for work. Like, I think that'll be huge, you know.
Definitely. I mean, it's funny because thinking back to my, like, when I was underage in Pittsburgh a while back, there was a big venue there called Club Laga, and they literally had it was like jail. It was like a fence between the people that were 21 plus and then the people that were underage, but it was still all ages. And I think like having options, like sometimes, I don't know, sometimes you don't want to drink.
Yeah.
And even if you love drinking, or sometimes, you know, like, it's nice to have something that's not seltzer. So
yeah. And I do want to say, like, I wasn't the main force behind this. Like, Lydia, one of our bartenders, and her partner Max, who is one of our sound guys, works with Wayo. We were all kind of like instrumental in kind of putting this together and making it happen. So it was kind of like a collective, like, you know, we're the younger generation, they're younger than me, and like this is what's happening. Like, people don't drink like they used to, so let's figure out a way to get those people into the venue and not be pressured.
We have a fun question for you. If you had a dream lineup, who would it be?
Oh boy. So I would have to like revive a band, I guess, to make a dream show happen. And it wouldn't just be like a 3-band bill, because like there's too many bands to choose from. So my favorite band is Circa Survive.
Okay.
So they would have to play. I would bring Slift back. They're a French psych rock band, psych metal band, I guess. I think this is really out there. I would bring Frank Ocean, right? Curveball, and probably like At the Drive-In.
Oh yeah,
because they played there back in the day, like before I was even aware of their existence. So I think that would be it.
That's really cool. Would you put your own band as an opener?
Not my current band. No, no. No, I don't think. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe just some exposure.
Right? Gotta get those exposure bucks.
Yes, please. Well, tell us about your experience being a musician here yourself.
I've had a lot of fun. You know, I've been playing in bands in the area since like 2010, I think. I started playing keys in this band called Storm the Bay. That lasted for like a year. They like wanted to shift their sound, so I got the boot, which is fine. You know, bands are allowed to grow. Consequently, they like blew up after that, which is kind of cool. And they got the tour a bunch around, you know, the US, and they were at that point, they were like a pop punk band, and they went through a bunch of different members, and they had a pretty good run. It kind of fizzled out. People have kids, you know, people move on. But like immediately after that band, I'd started my own band with my friend that I met at FLCC, Evan Clark, and basically a lot of the same people that we would hang out with in Storm the Bay, called Alberto Alaska, and that was like my baby, you know, for years. And like huge influences from like Circa Survive, Thrice, The Deer Hunter, and we were really into this band called Oh Brother. Phenomenal band. Think of like a doomy Radiohead.
Cool.
Yeah. That's what they sound like, kind of. And I was in a band called Old Fame with Evan and Jay, who were in Alberta, Alaska, and our friend Ben was on vocals. And COVID ultimately killed that band. While I was still in Alberta, Alaska, I was working with a local band called the Dirty Pennies. Mm-hmm. And back then they were a trio. They were like more like bluesy garage rock. And I was helping them with booking and managing all their stuff and merch and all that stuff. And over the years, they basically like changed their sound up, more garage punk. And then their bass player moved away, and I was like, oh, like maybe I'll like get involved more. So I started playing keys. We got a new guitar player, and Ryan, the singer, was switching between guitar and bass. So we had everything covered. And the last couple of years I've been playing with the Dirty Pennies. So now we're more of like a psych rock band.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we had to take a little hiatus. Our drummer had a stroke just before Christmas.
Oh, geez.
We did a benefit show for him in April, and he's doing well. He's, you know, back to work, surprisingly. It's just, you know, he's doing a lot of physical therapy, getting his mobility back. And, but we raised some money for him and brought the community together, and it definitely like lifted his spirits. So,
yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at musically, I'm not really doing anything. I'm just hanging out with my baby and booking shows.
I mean, it sounds like the dream, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Well, as we wrap up, Virginia's going to ask you the question that we ask every guest on the show.
What are you listening to right now?
All right. So one band off the top of my head. I don't have a TikTok, but the band has a TikTok, right? I rarely open it because it's just not my vibe. It's too much. But occasionally I open it and I just get delivered the best band I've ever heard in a long time. So one of those bands was Eka Vandal. And she's like hip hop and like the new like punk, like hardcore, like not super hardcore, but it's like all that kind of stuff blended together. I think she's actually on tour opening up for Limp Bizkit right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it's not like that kind of like Red Cap, whatever, like new metal stuff. It's really good. And I think it's just like a two-piece project. So that's one thing. I'm trying to think of what else. The problem is that I listen to so much, like just from bands hitting me up, that it gets kind of lost. I don't know. I love like King Gizzard. Mm-hmm. They played at Bug Jar a long time ago. I was working the merch table for that one because it was pretty busy. Lately, I've been really into like Turnstile. Just put out some new stuff, and I've been like gardening and like putting that on because it's like keeping me motivated to like keep moving.
Yeah.
Post Animal. I don't know if you listen to that band at all. They're fun. They're kind of like synthy, like psych pop. Dark Daisy is a band that I think everyone should look up. They're kind of, I mean, I listen to a lot of psych rock. I think it's part of like working at the Bug Jar. You're kind of like, you have to.
Yeah.
If you hang out with Bobby T, you have to listen to psych rock.
I want Bobby T to make us a playlist.
Oh, it would just be like the Black Angels on repeat, probably. No, he has a great array of musical tastes, believe me, but a lot of it's like rock and garage rock. So yeah, that's pretty, I think that's pretty much it. Like I'm listening to the new Bug Day, Jerry Biggs just put out some new music.
That's
so
good stuff. Yeah. I'm just listening to that too.
And those are two bands that are really on top of like the new wave of like how to do social media.
Yeah, for sure.
They're killing it. Yeah. So, keep doing it, guys.
Yeah, for sure. It's great. What advice do you have to people that are just starting in bands or people want to come to the Bug Jar, but maybe feel overwhelmed or whatever? Like how would you tell them to like hop in our scene and get involved?
That's a good question. I mean, and it's hard for people that are introverts, right? Mm-hmm. Like I would say that I'm like slightly introverted, but in certain circumstances I'm extroverted. I don't know. It's hard to be a total introvert when you're a musician because otherwise you're not gonna be able to like build a fan base and network and stuff. So you kind of have to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You gotta talk to people, you gotta network, you gotta go to DIY shows. That's like the most open and inclusive space probably because mm-hmm. people are all there to see music. Reach out, you know. If you want to talk about your band to me, you know, hit me up on social media and I'll try my best to get back to you. And just talk to other bands. Like it's all about communication. And don't be afraid to show yourself off. Like people always say like the shameless self-promotion thing when you're like, oh, to come to my show, but like what else are you gonna do?
Right,
like,
that's what it's all about.
If you want to make it or at least get your art out there, like you gotta tell people.
Yeah,
that's the biggest hurdle you have to overcome.
It's true, and our community is open to that, and you're fostering a place of that at Bug Jar too.
I hope so. Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I've been there for so long. I would just encourage people to get more involved in the scene, you know. Like I brought on a couple interns 2 years ago, and I'm trying to get some on for this summer, and I don't see a lot of like younger kids that are interested in like pursuing the music industry at a local level. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be an industry, but like that's the term, right? Like I went to college with people that are on tour with like Post Malone right now. I mean, that's like large scale, but they started doing small stuff, you know, and, you know, build your resume here. Why not? Right. You know, the guys at Raincoated are doing such a good job with their video content. Like that's what I think anyone that's trying to do like a video studio, that's the level it should be at. Because years ago, like I would find bands on Audio Tree, and that was like, to me, that was like the standard. And unfortunately I didn't know about KXP at the time. So, but now like KXP, Audio Tree, like Raincoated's like honestly like right up there with the stuff that they're pumping out. As far as like the video sessions and like Claire from Georgie, she's like starting to do some of her own booking. I don't know where it is, like a bookstore or something.
Book Eater?
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. I'm so like disconnected from like the DIY stuff, but I know that like that's happening, and she's done shows at the Buck Jar and really done a great job at like networking and like putting it all together. And yeah, like that's what it takes. Like you gotta have to wear as many hats as you can and talk to as many people as you can and get involved. That's the only thing you can do.
Yeah. That's really good advice. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for, you know, just collaborating with the community and creating such a good space. Before we go, can you let us know where people can find you? Besides the Bug Jar on a Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually there a little bit less now because I do have a 10-month-old son. So, where you can find me, like in the wild,
on the socials.
Oh, on social media. Well, I run the Bug Jar Instagram, Bug Jar Shows. I could give out my personal one, I guess.
I mean, you don't have to do yeah, that. Maybe give a shout out to Dirty Pennies.
No, I've tagged myself in some stuff. So my Instagram handle is Drum Doug Beard, and it's just a weird joke from many moons ago, but. Listen, I post a lot of really weird out there stuff on my story, so don't judge me. It's my character. But as far as like music projects, I'm in the Dirty Pennies, and that's the other avenue that you could find me. Well, I mean, we're not doing anything right now, but
eventually
we'll be back. And email the Bug Jar at bugjarbooking@gmail.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being here with us. We are so glad to get a little peek into behind the scenes of the Bug Jar. And yeah, everybody get out there and get to the show. Go to the Bug Jar. I command you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.